G'day everybody and welcome to the show. And today we've got Susan Kornacki. How are you going, Susan?
I'm doing well. Aloha. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Now, just to the listeners and mainly the viewers, you won't be able to see me because there's a bit of a glitch with the program. So you'll see Susan. No problems there anyway. So, Susan, would you like to tell the listeners and the viewers a little bit about yourself? You're an experiencer, but would you like to give us a little bit of background about yourself?
Sure. Let's see. I am currently living in Kauai, which is the northernmost Hawaiian island right now. And I moved here about 2 years ago, actually from one of my contact experiences that I had. Got a very strong pull to come here. But prior to that, I have spent, about 10 years as an emotional intelligence, expert or consultant, whatever you want to call it, working with major academic institutions where most of my clients across the United States, and I did some work over in Europe and Asia as well. I found that work to be really wonderful, actually. I have a master's degree in organizational psychology, and then about 10 years prior to that, I worked in corporate America, where I worked in organizational development and human resources. So it was an interesting road working in, corporate America while having ET contact pretty regularly. It was not very easy to hold and pull those worlds together, but I'm actually happy that it's happening right now.
Were you fairly open about it during that time?
Every human being, somebody asked me this the other day. They said, it was amazing. I got contacted by this man out of the blue from the Netherlands, and he found a video that I did, and he actually found one of my interviews. And he said, well, you say that you work behind the scenes. Well, what do you mean by that? And I said, part of my, I feel like a lot of us have a job, right? A lot of us contactees have a job. Like if you meet, most contactees are not walking around, in this state of kind of confusion or this state of, how do I explain it? Like they're really not sure what to really do with themselves. Like there's something about us that we seem to be put on mission, whatever that is, right? And it doesn't matter what other people say to you or their philosophical belief, there's something that's inside of you that drives you, right, as it relates to this. And it's very difficult to explain to people that don't get it. So for me, working behind the scenes was always letting people know, whether it be family, friends, or close colleagues, that we're not alone in the universe, we've never been alone, and it's important that you understand that, and it's important that you open yourself up to it. It's almost like every human being that I interacted with was an opportunity to expand their the space between the space within them to open up to this, because I always knew that it was going to come to a point where they have to understand. And I grew up in the I was a kid in the 70s, and of course, as you go 80s and 90s, and it was really amazing because even in my own family, they didn't, accept, so to speak, that ETs existed or spaceships, although my sister had contact with me, so she knew. But I grew up with a pretty big family, and my father was in one of my contact experiences, or rather I was in his. And, so it was important that people see that there's something greater than the reality that they're currently believing. And that was one of the things that I always knew that was important to bring forth to people. And, I could gauge pretty much in a nanosecond who I could really have a friendship with, who I could let my heart be open with, if they were open to this. And that was really important to me, because it's very difficult if somebody wasn't open when you're actually having regular ongoing contact and someone's not believing it. It's very difficult to have relations with people at that point.
Nah, definitely. I know what you mean, experiencing that myself. So it is very hard, and you do know within a few seconds, just gauging their body reaction or just asking questions, not spot on into it, but just around it. And you can just gauge within a few seconds if they're open-minded or they believe in it or not. With the earlier days, so obviously the contact for you in a conscious mind started at a very early age.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize this until I got a little bit older and started relating with other people that had contact, that I just kind of thought, of course, everybody was like me, meaning that you remembered incarnating into this reality. I just always did. I always knew like pretty much where I came from. I remember coming into Earth's atmosphere. I remember feeling the different levels of density. I remember being energy in the corner of my parents' bedroom. And then I remember being in my mother's womb. As an older baby, not right at that moment, I guess people would call conception. I remember right before conception. And I remember being in her womb probably maybe about 7 months or 8 months in utero. So, you know, I came into this existence like with, I don't want to say full consciousness, because if I did, then my life would probably be pretty damn easy right now, and it's not. Yeah. So I came in, yeah.
There's a bit of a glitch in the system. You get a bit of amnesia, you know, a little bit, but most of it's just, you know, I think we wouldn't be able to do what we did properly if we knew the full picture.
Right. Because there's certain things that go, wait, I signed up for that? Are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's why I say it. It's not full consciousness, but I remember that. And so always as a baby, you know, I remember being a baby and remember knowing certain things, like having a lot of telepathy, always trying to pop my thoughts to my mother and going, why is she not listening to me? You know? And so when I had been waiting as a kid for the beings and the ships to come, like I knew from a deeper energetic resonance and feeling that's a lot of where I came from. That vibration and density, or rather lack of a heavy density, was something that was so familiar to me. And I had been like waiting for that type of connection. And so I could feel the ship before it came. And then when the beings came, you know, I was a little scared. Like my physical body was a little frightened. It was actually, I remember consciously thinking this as a kid, wow, this is the first time this physical human body is experiencing this resonance with
vibration.
The ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, with this vibration. And whoa, that feels funny. Like, why does it feel so funny? And it felt a little uncomfortable, actually. But I knew that eventually it would, you know, modulate itself out, like rebalance itself out. And it did, you know. And then when I was actually having contact with one of the beings that was in the house, because I saw them coming in. Even though I was standing in one spot of the house, I could see them coming in still, like with my mind's eye. And you know, when they came in the house, and you know, there was a union at that point. There was a, you know, I call it an energetic transference of, you know, this very soft, family safe love. And that's one of the things that I felt a lot in my life. And I'm very fortunate. I grew up with a mother that loved me very much, and I grew up with a father that loves me. And this was, there's something about this that's just a little bit different. There's something that feels obviously different about it. It's got a different charge around it.
I used to spend a lot of time telling Mum she wasn't me Mum. Like, we just spoke about it the other day. And then after years of her saying, no, I'm your Mum, I said, well, am I adopted? You know, what's going on? Because I just knew, like, I just hated being here. And in a sense, I still do. But it was everything's inefficiently, everything's not how it should be.
Yeah.
You can see what it could
smooth.
Be.
Right. There's a lack of smoothness to it.
Yes, definitely. So what, yeah, with the family, like you were talking about how there was this loving and this family connection with these beings that you were having, yeah, experiences with. Like myself, I don't know with you, but with me over time, I've experienced that many variety of beings now that like you've got, yeah, sort of your last place where you were reincarnated with your group. What type of beings were they, and what's the other types of beings that you're interacting with?
Sure. And I feel like, and I'm just going to be like super honest, because it's been such a, you know, a very interesting 2 years that I've been through here, so different than what I've experienced the vast majority of my life, that the different beings that I interacted with previously, like I feel like they're all part of this soul family, right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And they're different ones, you know, they're not all the same. When I was a kid, they were what I call like almost like a translucent hue of like a vibrant soft green, if that makes any sense, like
was
luminous.
It light?
They moved in a sacred geometric pattern across, like from the ship across the field as they were hovering, you know, gliding and moving across. And they then, in order to be in my density where I was and with my father who was in the room and my sister, they then were able to drop into more of our density.
Yep.
So they went from like right, literally right in front of your eyes, because they went through the door, they came through the house. And I remember thinking like, they're not going to use the doorknob.
Yeah.
You know, they just came right through the house. That they then were able to move into like more of our density. And they actually went, you know, one came up to me and looked me in the eyes and, you know, touched my hand. I'll do it like this, like very, very soft and gentle. And their skin felt like so soft. It felt like powder, like even softer than a baby's skin. So they went from being, you know, call it plasma or light, to form that you could see, to more dense. And they were working, you know, they were doing things in the house, testing food, testing water. You know, and now I'm wondering if they were even testing for some form of radiation. But they were, you know, doing a lot of tests, you know, subsequently on my body afterwards, which I now understand what that was. And no, I wasn't really scared of it. I didn't like it, but I understood that it was for, you know, our positive evolution, because something was happening to the body, you know, to these human bodies on this planet that were messing with evolution big time.
Yes.
So that was one set. And I would see them a lot, and they were like the testers, you know, they would come and, you know, and I was, as a kid, I'd be walking home from school, or I would be outside playing and I'd see the ship cause I could feel it. And I'd look and, you know, I was not happy about like, okay, it's time to go. You know, I wasn't happy about it. It was like, oh man, I just like, leave me alone and let me be seven and play with my mud pie, you know, like let me play with my friends. and now I have to account for the fact that I've been gone for like 4 hours and my parents are yelling at me, you know? So, you know, there's a lot of that growing up, which kind of, you know, it definitely messes with you as a kid to work to recalibrate yourself. You always feel like you're kind of hiding something. You don't mean to, but you know that it's just part of what you're doing being here. It's part of your agreement to be here.
Yes.
Yeah. So getting back to the being, so that was one set. And when I was in my early 20s, I was maybe 21 or 22. And my former husband, was with me at the time. So he was there, and, you know, to this day, he was still a little freaked out about it. But there was, you could feel, as he and I were laying down together in bed, you could feel the energy coming and shifting really rapidly in the room. And I'm aware of it, and he's like getting ready to just go and get zonked out. and then I see, you know, one of the ET's faces. I just call it ET, you know, you could see like the big eyes and whatnot. But then all of a sudden, in at the foot of the bed are two, and I'm awake, there's two tall being standing there, like huge, like, you know, as tall as the ceiling, and they're just looking at me. And I kept thinking to myself, what are they looking at? And, you know, I knew the answer, like right off the bat. It's, you know, they were examining my energy field. They were feeling into it and examining it. And then the next thing I know, and I won't get into too much detail about this experience, but I then am like with them, one on one side and one on the other, and they're moving me through space-time, like whoosh, you know, like super fast. And that prompted a good 20 years of knowledge and information about the cosmos, in terms of how universes are created and how consciousness is actually related to, consciousness and energy are related to the creation of new universes. So, you know, that blew me away. And for me, that was like, I felt like I had graduated or something, that I have these teachers or these guides, or I feel like they're my soul parents, actually, that were so loving, wise, like amazing teachers. They were the teacher that you always want to have, because they're full of knowledge, they're full of this infinite wisdom, and they're so patient, and they're so able to hold you, yet give you enough space for you to make mistakes or for you to learn in the process. So that was, you know, one set, and they came back about 10 years later. And I've also seen one other set that came in one night, probably about, I have to do a count how many years ago, maybe about, maybe about 8-9 years ago, and came in a ship. And then the next thing I know, they're asking me if I want to look at them. And I said, okay. And they went to go show me their face because they had like these glasses on. And I said, no, wait, because I got too scared, apparently. And they respected it. And they said, okay, not yet, you know, when you're ready. And then the next thing I know, they take their hand and just like transfer an energy to me. And I'm filled now with this energy. And the next thing I do is I go over to a plant in the house, and I, you know, just innately do this. And then
give that energy to the plant.
I give the energy to the plant, and the plant, you know, comes to life, because it was not doing well. It was a hibiscus plant that was in my house. So, and then from there, I held on to that for a while. I didn't do much with it because I thought, you know, who am I to do this with anybody? Like, how can I put my hands on people? Like, only weird people do that, you know. But then afterwards, you know, there's a whole journey that evolved afterwards. Then I started actually doing that on people, and I did it for 3 years out of my home. I loved every minute of it because it was just very beautiful to sit and feel people's energy and to help to move their energy. And then, you know, it was just so beautiful because you're always in touch with the field of energy. You're always in touch with that 0-point field. And it's so loving. That's the amazing thing about it. It really
blisses
is.
You out, and you feel the energy bands, and it just, I know exactly what you're saying, because it's been similar for me in that sense, working with energy, mm-hmm. which is what it's led to now for myself. So a lot of it you can't express in words, because it's more the feeling and just feeling energy, because everything is energy. So right. Once you get to that point, that's where it's, you know, a totally different matter compared to how things looked beforehand. With the experiences and the information, going back to the universe, as I said to you before the show, a lot of people were getting in contact with me about yourself and about how we've got similar things to say on the shift, on consciousness, on the universe and universes. Would you like to go into some of that information? I've heard about a 10-minute clip of you talk, but that was about it. And I usually do this type of thing because it's more cool, or it's more trippy, I guess, to say my words, talking to you, hearing it at the time and learning from yourself, because it just connects a lot of dots, I think, for both experiences when they connect and talk about these type of things. So would you like to go into that aspect of consciousness and the universe and beyond?
Sure. I think for starters, I think this is just one of the important things that I've learned over the last 2 years, and in some of my interviews, you know, prior to 2 years ago, I talk about how really, you know, I've had a lot of love in my life. I've had a lot of, I love my parents. My parents love me. My trust was never violated with them. I know that's actually, I realize now that's kind of an unusual thing. Not everybody's had that. and the love that I've had and the guidance from the different beings. So I feel very fortunate for the person that I was able to be for the vast majority of my life. And I used to hear, you know, people in the UFO ET community, which I wasn't really a part of, just to let you know. I lived in Massachusetts. We do things differently out there, where you don't really talk about a lot of that stuff. Or if you do, you do it in someone's home, or you do it at a university where the professors that are participating in it, like their colleagues, don't know anything about it. So that forced us actually to have really grounded conversations about our contact, knowledge, and what it meant. And when I would hear people talk about, you know, the negative entities, right, or the negative ETs, I kind of struggled with it, because I was like, you know, really? Like, how are people having that experience? And I took everything that I knew about emotional intelligence and doing the energy work. And, you know, one of the things I realized is there was a really strong connection between how people are emotionally, like, in their day-to-day life and what they're attracting in for the different beings. And it seems like the higher up that you go, like, meaning, like, you know, you think about, like, a spiral, right? And I believe that this is where it's happening right now. We have this rapid acceleration, this rapid growth. And because of that, as you open up to these different realms, you know, what you're feeling inside in your intentions, if you have a lot of anger, if you have a lot of fear, if you have a lot of, you know, hatred and irritation and are not an honest person, you're going to attract different entities in beings and ETs that are of that vibration.
The mind you seek is the mind you're going to basically connect with that vibration. It's like two magnets drawn to each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, everybody can have their theories about, well, you know, it's the duality of the universe. It has to exist. Well, okay, but it doesn't feel so great, does it? I mean, really, you know, when you're in that state, it doesn't feel so great. And then if you're attracting more of that negative energy from these different beings, then it becomes a feedback loop. So even if you want to get out of it, it becomes a hell of a lot harder, because you're already in the hole at that point. And two, there can be a lot of information from, you know, and again, I hate using the label negative, but there can be a lot of information gleaned from these different type of beings and these different type of entities, which could be very helpful, you know, to what it is that's happening and going on. But like anything, it's got to be channeled in the right way, and it's got to be held in the right way, and there should be a healthy balance of love and respect and everything else that comes into play. So truthfully, that was something that was something that I had to accept and understand that. And I'll share this with you too. I went to Kauai has a Hindu temple that's here, and you know, the monks that are there, they understand about Lemuria, they understand about the energy. And I was having a conversation with one of the monks, and you know, he said, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm okay." And he said, "Just okay?" I go, "Yeah, I'm just okay." And he says, "Well, what's up? You know, what's happening with you?" I'm like, "Well, you know, it's definitely been a little bit of a struggle, you know, with you know, experiencing different energies." And he goes, "Oh, we know. That's why we're here." You know, that's why they're here, you know, grounding and holding. So when we think that everything is hunky-dory and peachy, you know, not so much. So it's important. It's so important, I think, as we move through these next levels in consciousness, and as we bring in more energy, right? If we're talking collective consciousness and, yes, you know, and collective intelligence and collective wisdom, well, then you're taking everybody else's stuff in. And if other people's needles are not as pure as yours, or if you're not as pure as theirs, you've got a mixing that's happening and going on. And you've got to figure out how you can keep your, you know, your center point, your golden shimmering ball constantly shimmering and golden, to be that of love, trust, truth, fairness, acceptance, gratitude. You know, it's a practice.
And it's not easy.
It's a practice to hold it.
It's not easy thing, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm enlightened, I meditate, this and that. And what I tell a lot of people, especially that visit me or I get in contact with or who contact me, is that what happens is when the awakening starts, what will happen is there will be roadblocks put in your way, and there'll be baggage that you have to release and forgive and just get. You just got to get over it, because going to the next level of consciousness, you just can't take that with you, and it's up to you.
Right.
You know, so some, not everyone's ready to go to that level, but those that are, they're all of a sudden freaked out by not just the baggage of others, but really their own baggage that they've put on themselves. It's really a lot of house cleaning that they've got to do within their own being. And that's where it's sort of, it's the test of, are you ready or not? Because they think it's easy. And in a sense it is, because all this baggage is just emotion. It's a frequency, and therefore you can just dissolve that frequency. It's the same with contracts, that people go, oh, this is happening because of karma and this contract. Yeah, those types of things do exist. But at the same time, if something isn't working out, you can rewrite it. You can make a new one. You don't just have to stay with that program. You can make a new program. So that's just something
absolutely.
I wanted to add in there, because everyone just thinks, oh, enlightenment, you know, everything's love and light. And that's our true frequency, our true vibration, love and light. But at the same time, with these other vibrations, it's a testing time, especially being in the human body, the human body computer, because a lot of things do pay you off a lot more than what it would in other states. Other states, you'd see that for what it is. But unfortunately, that's not, you know, what we're going through. You know, we're not in that frequency now. So totally understand what you're saying on that point of thing, is that, you know, there's that frequency intent. Those energies will connect, you know, like how you were saying before, if you're negative, those negative forces can connect with that, because you're picking up on the same vibration, which I found interesting for you to say that.
Yeah, and interesting for me too to say that, because I would have thought, no, you know. And I remember early on, I got, you know, when I did one of my interviews, I got, you know, a lot of very nice compliments, but then I got somebody saying, well, you know, you're not facing reality because you know there are negative ETs and there are, you know, that have that. And it's like, well, no, it just actually wasn't my reality at the time, because I think I had actually been vibrating pretty, you know, at a pretty high rate for the environment and you know, see how I'm doing this in my hand, like for what I was in at the time, you know, like that was my experience of it. And bless me, because of how I incarnated in and with the family, with the experiences that I had, because I was able to keep what I feel is that loving vibration for a long time. And, you know, I think they would attest to that, and friends would attest to that as well. So it is interesting, yet a really fantastic learning experience, because that's how I believe that we build our strength. And, you know, as we talk about transmuting energy as well, you know, you can't really transmute it if you haven't experienced a certain intensity of it. So once you have a different intensity that comes into play for very different reasons, and maybe that shares the same intention that you have, yet comes about it from a very different way, you know, it forces you to rise up even more, and to see where actually you're getting knocked down and go, wait, why am I getting knocked down on this? What do I need to learn about myself?
Yeah.
You know, what judgments am I holding? What do I need to let go of? And when do I actually use this beautiful thing called, you know, anger, or, you know, a sense of injustice? When do I use that? Because one of the things that I see with people there, and again, it's just my little observation, people in the spiritual community that maybe haven't had a lot of contact, and then people that have had contact, we seem to be more emotionally charged, like our universal emotions, and those exist, by the way, again, the work I did in emotional intelligence, like emotions are there for a reason. So when you get angry, typically there's a, you know, I'm not talking like rageful, I mean just, wait, hold on, you know, I just saw this man push over a woman and grab her pocketbook, like, you know, am I going to sit there and go, oh, well, that was her experience, she called that in, or am I going to, like, be like, dude, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm going to go get that back, or I'm going to go over to the woman, because maybe I feel sad for her because she got injured, and ask if she's okay. So, you know, emotions prompt us to do things that are actually beneficial, if they're used right, for our collective, you know, evolution in bringing it even more simply for our family, for ourselves. You know, they prompt us to know, you know, do I go this way or do I go that way? And that's one of the things that I don't want to lose that. Like, I get a lot of information from people in the spiritual community that, you know, talk about no judgment, that talk about, well, it just is what it is, and so be it. But emotions, to me, they're important. And I'll give you an example. So in one of my contact experiences, the beings were, which I now know, they were working on my central nervous system. There was another being laying next to me that was experiencing anger and sadness at the same time. And you can have that. It's just, you know, it's like a mixed emotion, you know? And I remember like feeling what the being was feeling and like, I'm like, ugh, you know, this doesn't feel good. But the level of intensity that that being was feeling was being transferred to me. And they wanted to, it's almost like they were calibrating my central nervous system. And when I was a kid, I remember had an experience, I've told this like once before, but I think it's important enough to share again, with my gerbils. I had, oh, I'm sorry, they were hamsters. Hamsters are biters. Gerbils don't really bite. Hamsters are biters. But the hamster bit me, and I was like, immediately wanted to like choke it. You know, it's like, ah! And I did for like 2 minutes, or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't 2 minutes. Maybe it was like 6 seconds, like, cause I was like so angry. And the next thing that happens is I feel like literally like something like come and like, you know, take my hands off. Like my consciousness popped in at that point. Okay. So after I got what I call my calibration or my tweak from them, having this empathetic experience with this being, I didn't do that again. Like I didn't do that. So they did something. So the sense of being empathetic, the sense of feeling feelings is so important. It really, really is. I think this is, I don't want to say crime, but this is one of the things that is like slowing our evolution, is when we don't have the sense of caring about each other. We don't have the sense of nurturing, you know, one another or helping people through issues. And to me, like, you know, there's an imbalance in there. And it does have to be in balance, because there's, you know, many people out there as well that use emotions to manipulate people, to do a whole host of things. So you have to have, you know, really good discernment to know who you give your energy to and who you don't. But, you know, that's one of the things that I actually do see quite a bit. And I'm not talking to be overly emotional. I mean, like, you know what you're feeling, why you're feeling it, where it's coming from, and what level of energy you want to extend out, and how is it going to help that situation in the whole.
Exactly. And there's a lot of learning. I basically say very similar stuff to those who I talk to. If they're having problems, emotional problems, is where is it coming from, why are you feeling this? Because usually it's not out there, it's inside. And it's like when people try to change things, they try to manipulate what's going on around them, but if they worked within, that would project and manifest outside of themselves. So that's where everything's within to why you feel. And it's usually little lessons, little tools to why you're feeling this. And it's getting you out of your comfort zone when you feel it, then basically embracing what's going on and then getting over it and moving on. But you have, it is hard. It's not just what it is. Everything's an illusion, you know. It's, even though everything is an illusion, it's still one of those things where you have to work through it. But and it's so true, especially for myself and other experiences I know, where you feel what plants are feeling, how they're feeling, animals, people around you, the environment as a whole around you. And this is where it's a lot for us sometimes, especially when it starts happening, because you take on all this energy. And sometimes you can do stuff about it, sometimes you can't. And in saying that, it's the same with negative things. How much energy do you want to give that? Because you give that your energy, it's really just draining yourself.
Right. And then that's where you have to calculate that and know, you know, and sometimes I think that's one of the reasons that we're here too on this planet. We're here to learn how energy moves, and we're here to learn how to master our own energy. I think that's one of the things that we are here to do, you know, and that means related to the plants on the planet, the energy of the actual planet itself and animals. Absolutely. You know, I don't want to feel so disconnected from everything around me that I look at it as just this cognitive, philosophical thing. You know, I want to be able to feel it. And sometimes that means feeling things that don't feel so good. And then learning from that and saying, okay, next time I go over here, as opposed to engage it and give it. And, you know, it's our continued discernment that we have. And, you know, I feel like we're guided to a point, and then, you know, we have to come up with our own way that we deal with it and our own way that we understand it. And, you know, the beings, to me, they come in when it's needed. They come in when the lesson is going to start, you know. They don't finish it for you. I realize now, like for me, they kind of start it, and then it's up to me to you know, go on this crazy track and follow it, and then they'll come back afterwards and check up, and then it's time for your next one. So it's a school in
That's
some ways.
It's been exactly the same for me. I've had some, and it makes me wonder if it's because I was in that frame of mind last year. I call it a cycle of fear, pissed off, and then acceptance of what experiences go through, because not all experiences, but a large majority, they're fearful of what they're seeing. Why is it happening? You know, all these questions come up, and then they get pissed off and they want to know what's going on. And then something will unveil, and then it will get to the acceptance point of this is how things are, this is my place. And then, but it goes around every now and then. And I had black ops type stuff happening and negative type entities rolling in, and then beings from Sirius, these feline beings, and even Joshua came through, and other beings, and I didn't even know who a lot of these beings were. It was just, unless it was the thought transfer, what I call telepathy, thought transfer of the knowledge of whatever that, you know, was meant to be communicated. And it was lessons on working on my own energies, on the, basically even psychic level type attacks, where they were warning me what was going on, but not telling me. It was sort of like, he'll work it out himself, and that you've got to work through this stuff yourself. We just can't jump in and everything's going to be sweet from it. So
Right. That's
just one example from my side of things of the lessons. And I learned how to master that side. It took months and months, and it was very intense work I had to do because of the level of what was happening. But you're exactly right. Yeah. There's that teaching thing.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that. That's so important. I mean, it's even helpful for me to remind me, like, you know, again, I did sign up for this. I signed up for it. And, you know, sometimes even when you're saying, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, there's something else that's going, go, you know? So yeah, and that's, you put it perfect, because that's a lot of what it is. I'm going to share one thing with you. When they showed me, like, because they showed me how the energy of this universe, the energy of it, moves and condenses, well, moves and then condenses to create a new universe. And they showed me this over a period of 20 years, by the way. And so that's why I know that there's certain physicists out there that have a more accurate understanding, at least in my world, right, than others. And so I'll gravitate to certain people or certain physicists that I feel like are more on it than maybe others. But what they did in the second time that they came, when I was in my early 30s, they showed me the evolution of this new universe. And it was still in its you know, I call it like toddler form at that point, because that's where spiral galaxies had now formed. And so I could see all the energy of that. And I could see, you know, the energy of this universe, like where it is, how that then works to create planets and galaxies and spin and you know, that. And it was really beautiful, but it was incredibly overwhelming.
Yes.
And yeah, it was very overwhelming. Like, how am I standing here looking at a whole new universe? How is that possible, right? But in the energy of it, one was to my left, like I said, and one was to my right. This time they weren't telling me, you know, telepathically what I was seeing. They wanted me to tell them what I was seeing, and they would nod. I could feel the nod of approval that the answer was correct, right? It very gently, it wasn't like, yes, you're right. It was more like, you know, like an understanding. And And then they started to turn away from me, to leave me there. And I said, what are you doing? Like, I can't be left here. You guys brought me here. You need to stay with me. Like, this is too big for me to handle. And, you know, they just left at that point. So I'm left with this imprint that I carry about the energy that we have here now is being taken and moved continuously to the creation of something new, you know, to a new universe. And as you look at all the changes that are happening on the planet and you see that, it's like, oh, okay, wait, there actually is something to this. And with all the different beings that are in the universe, all, you know, really a lot are focusing on Earth at this point, that, you know, we might be one of the last planets out there that really knows about this and that is moving to that type of, you know, higher frequency and higher vibration. Like, I get the sense that we are working to create something new. Like, there's the present right now, and we're also working towards the future. So I share that with you because they don't give you all the answers. And it really is like, it's like a puzzle that you don't even have the pieces. You'll have to like wait for them to come, or that you have to really go seek them and grab them and put them into place.
That's exactly how it works. And in saying what you just said about being one of the last planets to know about this, I think that that's exactly how it's going, because and what really got me with my experiences was I had an experience with these beings called the Elohim. They were light blue. It's like a liquid light. And they're absolutely beautiful, but they were projecting to me other races, what's going on, basically my part in what I've signed up for. And I, basically right then I got full recollection of even the agreement coming here. And it was like, bang, a light switch came on. And I thought that was sort of what I needed to know, but then it led it into other things. But what came from it was that this shift is not just for humanity. It's actually for all beings throughout all planes. And that's when it hit me going,
yes.
I thought it was big, that it was just about Earth and everyone's coming here. And then I'm thinking, shit, this is so big that
it
took me days just to ponder over and over, going, this isn't just for us.
Right.
It's for absolutely everything that exists throughout all the planes of existence throughout this universe.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I got as well. And I don't have the drawing with me, but I drew out that. I drew out the energy of what they showed me, because, you know, my concept when I was in my early 20s was, oh, you're showing me a new universe. Okay, so that means everything in this universe that we're in is related to this. And then in my early 30s, when they showed me the evolution of it, I went, oh, this is about everything. It is about everything. And there's such a, I feel like there's such a feedback loop between the different beings that are out there and us, because, you know, if you think about the animals that are on our planet and the feline beings, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like there is so much. So there are so many different life forms on this planet that have to do and that are connected with all the various beings. You know, like somebody asked me, they say, well, you're connected more to the Pleiadian energy. You know, you've got blonde hair, blue eyes. And I'm like, maybe, but I really don't know. I feel like I'm maybe a mixture of a lot of different things, because I've seen a lot of different things, and the love that I have also for the various beings, and I'll be super honest and say this, I finally started to connect in with other people that had, you know, other contact by moving. You know, then you get to see different people and in different energies, and I can tell you there's energies that I've never even interacted with before, like before coming to this Earth plane.
Definitely.
I didn't. I'm like, oh my God, okay, you're powerful, and you know, I am in my own way, yet this is totally different, and how do I even like work with you, you know?
Exactly.
Really.
It's still a cool energy, but it just doesn't resonate with what, you know, where you're
right.
at. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, same with myself. There's beings that I'm interacting with now that I've got no reference for, and they can't give me any reference, but they're not bad. They just bliss the hell out of me because the energy is just so different.
So different. It's so different. It's like, whoa, this is trippy. And I think, of course, that other human beings that are connected in their own ET experiences are carrying their own ET energy that you're interacting with. So I think as we shift and move around this planet right now and work with other people and connect with other people, you know, we are literally like blending the different ET energies just by our very existence, by working with one another and you know, having communication and relation, you know, friendship, what have you. It really is a blending of the different energies.
Yeah, and it's took me a while, because what happened with me, I was having experiences with these light blue light beings, which I didn't know what they were at the time, and then I was interacting with this Pleiadian, and then greys were coming in. Like, the amount of beings that I've interacted with would have to be up around 10 or more. It's just, it's ridiculous. Wow. And I spent a lot of time wondering why, like, I've heard other stories, but why this amount of beings? And then I heard of a few other people that were having the same thing, but what's been revealed is I've actually been them. I had past life memories of a couple of them, but then I had revealed to me that basically they can pick up soul signature, and that they were friends and families from past lives, and that they all, like, and I'd be doing the same with them if they were here. I'd be popping in and out, whatever.
Checking out, right?
Yeah.
Checking them out.
And it's sort of frustrating talking to some people, because they want to go, I want to know where I'm from, and yada, yada, yada. And I say, look, to get to the point, you are a cell of the same source. That's where you originally come from. That's where you go back to. And I said, all these other lives, their experiences, and what happened when we left source, we had to go out and experience and gain knowledge in every single form. If it was all the same, that would not be worth doing, because we would all have the exact same, you know what I mean, experience. So this is where the source as a collective is gaining knowledge. But because I found out where I was from, like, last life, and that half of me is still there because the spirit split up, which is very, not complicated, but I know I won't do your head in, but then others were saying,
I get it.
I know you'd get that. So, and then you say that to people, and then it's like, whoa, you know, it blows their mind even more. But that's the profound nature of actually the way things are, though I can't prove it. That's my reality, and it seems to be common for others. So, I just got that from you as well, talking about these beings you're interacting with, like family. Like, you would have been them or still are.
That's right. That's right. And you use a word that I've used so many times, soul signature. There's a specific soul signature that you have within you that you know is connected with theirs. And it's almost like it's like a seed. You know, there's a seed within you that is them as well. And that's why the bond is so strong. You know, that's why it's so deep, because there's previous memory or experiences that are there with it, like the you know, luminescent beings. You know, before I remember incarnating in, I had an experience with a golden pot of beings, and I made a little video a while ago, and I put what it was like best representative of what I saw in there, and that's a part of my family too, and we all worked on behalf of Source, like it's what we did. We were like the foot soldiers of Source, but we're just golden light. And it's like, that's part of what I carry too. So, you know, it's like to put your finger on it and say it's this or it's that. It's like, you really can't. It's more the experience, the living experience that you have within you when you incarnate in here, when you come here. And you know, yeah, they check up on you. And they're wanting to know about your experience. They want to know how things are happening and going, and they're not going to just come out and ask. It's more, you know, feeling into your energy, right? And maybe giving you a little bit of this, and maybe you're giving them a little bit of that, because it's part of the exchange.
Exchange, energy exchange, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
With things, how they've progressed for you, like for myself, I know that a lot of the information I'm getting now is through basically reading energy within the universe, as weird as that sounds, through meditating, and then putting a direct intent. Not to be like a bloody prophet or whatever, but you're reading the energy signature at the time, what's going on, and with where things are at right now, therefore the most probable outcomes. And what I've found is this year is going to be the year of turbulence, in a way, where we're cleaning a lot of baggage, because we're going from one state to another, and to go from one state to the other, is you got to get out of your comfort zone, because things are not going to be comfortable, and there's a lot of cleaning up within our own selves and realigning with those who are in line with the same values. And that's to say that those who aren't, they're bad or they're going to hell and all that crap, but it's just that they're not ready to evolve to the next point of where they're at. Have you got similar sort of stuff coming through for yourself, and how does that stuff come through for you?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I know what I want. I know like what the real basic me wants. The basic me wants us to already be at that point of like bliss and light and you know, that we're just there. We're not though, you know. Yeah. If we were, then things would look a heck of a lot different on a regular basis. People wouldn't be going through these periodic ups and these periodic downs. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking about everybody that I know is really experiencing this right now. And with that, I'm in agreement. I think that this is a year of things, more things can, the deeper that we're hiding stuff or the deeper that we're not, addressing what needs to be addressed, it's just gonna find a way to move it to the surface, right? To have it be addressed. It's like, I remember when I used to teach emotional intelligence, we talked about like, how do you really create behavioral change? You have to drop an old neural pathway to create a new neural pathway. So how do we change? You can only change if you're dropping the old and allowing room for the new. It's like, you know, the mind is like a computer, but, you know, the actual physical brain rather is more like a computer, not the mind. And this hard stuff, the turbulent times, is about that. It's about like these ruckuses inside of you to break apart. It's like the earth shaking, right? Having an earthquake. It's about something shaking apart, breaking apart in order for something new to come in, a new vibration, a new energy. When you think about how, even though we come in, like I knew this as well when I incarnated in, that I incarnated into a genetic body. So there was my energy coming in, but it was in this certain genetic body that had to overcome challenges. My mom had a genetic disorder that she died from, and so did 90% of her family. It was pretty atrocious. So I knew that the genetics, there was a good probability that the genetics were inside of my body. I started to develop symptoms about 7 years ago. So I did everything that I could to work to, move that energy out that I thought was kind of clamping down onto my genetic body. And it was all related to emotion. It was all related to the body's deep fear of this disease. And, so we incarnate in with our own energy, but yet these physical bodies, the genetics of mom, dad, and everybody else is in there as well. Like, I don't know how we miss this part, but sometimes we miss this part. And all of that stuff is coming to the surface. So, you know, people, you know, we know on this planet for years, you know, because they talk about the rise of the feminine energy. Yes. Well, for years, it's been a very male-dominated energy. So even the nicest of men and even the nicest of guys or the nicest of people still have aggression, still have, you know, maybe things that they're doing that are not in alignment of like this highest balanced good. And they're not bad people, but this stuff is still happening. So in order for it to be gone, it needs to come to the surface. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming to the surface right now. And I think that there's that acceptance of who we are as a species, that we do have responsibility to look at our genetic coding, mom, dad, you know, our ancestors, you know, where that energy comes from, and see it for what it is. And it's not easy. And then work to transmute it. Because that's the other part of what comes up. It's not just, you know, maybe a negative entity over here or that. You know, there's some deep-seated stuff within our genetics.
Oh, definitely. It's getting both of the spiritual, the astral aspect of things, plus the physical plane we're in, and looking at both, because you just can't work on one and not the other.
Right. It's the same with,
meditation and that type of thing. Like I say to people, is, you know, you do that, you don't expect, you know, you've got to eat healthy, exercise, you know, you got to have a balance of everything. And mm-hmm. and that's what we need to do as a collective here, if it does get to that stage, because really that's what we need to get back to, is a oneness and an understanding of empathy and connectedness, interconnectedness.
Right. And we do. And it's wonderful to have the concept. It's wonderful to have the feeling. And if there's something that's coming up inside of you in your body that's not allowing you to do that, it's got to get looked at. It's got to get addressed. Because I don't think just through meditation alone we do it. I think we do it through having compassion and seeing things that are uncomfortable for us that we really don't want to see, that we know we're carrying inside of us, right? Like, we know there's a part that, you know, maybe I do this, and this is one of the things that's causing a ruckus on the planet. Like, where does that come from within me? Does it come from my mom, my dad, or, you know, an ancestry type of a thing? And then we have to really, really, really look at that. Because it's hard. I mean, what we're going through right now is hard. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I thought when I was younger, like, oh, you just let everybody know about, you know, ETs and that we're not alone in the universe. And hey, you know, the impossible is possible. We can create anti-gravity technology. You know, we can go to the stars if we want. You know, we're bigger than what we are. Like, I thought that was going to be it, you know? And little did I know that the human being, the human body is carrying, I don't want to call it karma, but it's carrying a lot of stuff that needs to get worked through because of so many things that have gone on this planet. Yet the template of the human being, the template of the body is just so remarkable. It can do amazing things. It is remarkable. It can do amazing things. It's incredible.
That's where, like I've gone on about before, and others have too, about there's been manipulation, but therefore we've let this happen. You know, you can also look at Atlantis and Lemuria and that, and the same thing is losing the oneness is where things break down. It's like we have this oneness, and then we rise with the level of consciousness that comes with that. New things come into play. But then again, that breaks. If that breaks down, that's where it goes back down, which has happened many times on this earth, in my opinion, from my experiences. And this is where basically we're on another new path, another new cycle. But how we're going to come through it, I think we've got more chances than we have before, due to what the aspect of star seeds I've been exposed to, in how this operate. I call it Operation Starseed. I wrote a book called that.
Oh.
And it's basically, and this is just an example, just a knowingness of God going to how you've got to do things and you don't know why, like how we spoke about before the show, how you had to move to Hawaii.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's just everyone's got their own little thing they've got to do, and it's not the same as the other person. But if we all do it, there's more chance of this pulling off than if we're not doing it. And what comes along with that is support for one another that are going through this, because it is, as you know, it's a hard thing living in this world when you know a lot more about it and the nature of things than a large majority of other people, because they're closed off to it.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one of the other things I want to share that has been, excuse me, I'm getting over this cold, a really great learning. I've always been curious about power, right? About human beings as it relates to power, and that came from, I guess, early on, like being born female and being told I couldn't, like my grandmother was Catholic, and I used to go visit her on Sundays, and she, of course, used to make us go down to the church. And my cousins who were visiting from Ohio, I have just some fond memories of them. They were always causing some trouble, some issues, which is why I like to be with them, because they were doing things that they weren't supposed to do. They weren't super bad, but it was fun. But she'd make us go down to the church and deliver food to the priest, or I don't know, whatever. Maybe she just thought it would be good for us to go do that, that maybe my cousins would stop breaking windows with rocks or something. I don't know. So when I'd go, I remember the first time I felt shame. It wasn't from my family. Like, I didn't feel shame from my dad or my mom or my brothers, right? Or my sister. I felt shame from you know, the church. And maybe people are out there like, of course you felt shame from the church. But I had no attachment to the church. I saw it for what it was, even as a little kid. But I had shame because they wouldn't let me go in to the back room there. They said, no, 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 you can't come in here. It's just for the boys. I said, what? You know, like, well, it's just altar boys. No, at that time, there's no altar girls in church. And I remember thinking, like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not your equal? Like, I'm a I'm a being in a body. Why am I not your equal? And my parents didn't have what I would call, like, my dad was not misogynist or anything like that. Like, my parents had a super balanced respect for one another. And, but then it continued, right? It continued throughout high school, junior high school. And I'm going to share this, because I think it's really important. So if I can go on here, I'd really love to do that, because I think it's so important. That I would remember being a kid and getting, like, hit on by my, I mean, a kid, like, you know, seventh, eighth grade, getting hit on by my softball coach, right? Like, very uncomfortable, like, very inappropriate as well. And then finding out that other girls experienced the same thing, which is why they didn't want to go to practice on Saturday or didn't want to go to the ice cream shop with him in the van, right? Oh, true, right? And then being in high school and then getting what I call, like, the gender slap as well. I loved studying, you know, the sky. I thought I'd be an astronomer because I was always looking up at the sky, right? I'm sure you know that for you. And I was told, no, keeping this in mind, I graduated from school in 1989, so you would have thought that maybe they were a little bit more evolved then, but I was told, no, you know, you don't want to do that. That's not something that a woman does, a girl does. You know, you should be a housewife, or you should, maybe be a secretary. And I was like, what? I remember I was so offended, but that just made me actually work harder. I didn't do that well in high school, but I enrolled in college. I paid for my own school. I did really well in college. Then I got my master's degree. You know, but I saw the injustices and I didn't really own it. Because again, I didn't grow up with that type of a family. And my husband, for many, many years, was very supportive and very kind. And, you know, he didn't harbor that females can't do this. If anything, he was the opposite. He was very, very, very supportive. But I started to see and look around and realize, you know, with all the knowledge and experience that I have, you know, teaching at these other universities, and working with a lot of male clients that were executives or in some really high leadership positions, that, you know, we've got a long way to go. We really have a long way to go, not just in the mainstream, because it's happening in these, you know, call them spiritual communities or new budding organizations. It's still there. You know, it's like, the game might change, like the actual chess pieces and the actual physical game might change, but if the energy that's going into the game is still the same, we're not evolving. Like, we are not evolving. It's still the same old shit, and it's still that same old energy. So with the rise of the feminine, you know, to me, the rise is not to overpower the masculine. The rise of the feminine is, it does hold, you know, and I'm not saying that men don't have this, because many, many do, and I'm very fortunate to know them. But there's a sense of innate connection. There's a sense of nurturing. There's not a sense of this competition, I'm going to get one over. It's a sense of the all, the one, the unity, the mother. You know, it's that the mom or the female wants to have it all work out. You know, wants to have the win-win, wants to guide, wants to nurture, wants to support. And what I know about leadership is that it's not going to be sustainable. Something is not going to be sustainable if we're constantly looking at a short-term gain in a very fragmented way. And if we're going about it that way, we don't really have anything. We've got great ideas and great concepts that are introduced in the world with no real ability to hold it. And it's my belief that for those people that are interested in these new sciences, these new ways of living, being, consciousness communities, what have you, that it is about shared leadership. And it is about those feminine qualities as well, whether it be in a male body or a feminine body, it doesn't really matter. But it's holding all of that. And all the research on successful leadership, you know, shows that, yes, one needs to be powerful and to have that to have those energies in balance as well. And again, in all of my contact experiences, I couldn't even really tell you there was a real major gender difference. in any of the different beings, at least for me, because the energy mainly was coming from the one, was coming from the source.
Yes.
And it felt balanced. And that's where I believe we have to try to get to.
With me, it's only been really with one race, which was the feline beings, where I could tell a difference. Although in the start, there was a light being created, not the average what a lot of people describe, because later on she showed me that she's not even a she and her name's not Shiji. She's actually a pure white light. So it was sort of projection illusions. Even the other half of me in Orion, which I've seen, I had one regression done just because I couldn't work out one incident. And I could see my race of human Orions, along with many other races, to actually talk through me. I can't remember the second half, but what got me was that it turned into a light being. It went from a male human into a light being, and then I've realised a lot of this is just projection. But yeah. that's exactly yeah. right. Even with the feline beings, though, there was no hierarchy. I'm male, so I'm hot. You know what I mean? None of this crap. And that's where we talked about before the shows with the female and male energies going like this at the moment, because the feminine power is coming back up. So there's that little bit of friction, and they're not even knowing what it's about. It's just
that's
what I've said to people. Yeah. Just go and have a time out. You're not right. Yeah. You're not right. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's just these energies are going to butt head because they're trying to align, and it's the first time in thousands of years that we're getting back to this place.
Right. That's exactly the point. And to be able to have compassion for oneself, and then to be able to look inside and say, you know, is what I'm feeling right now, is this something that if I let it go, is this in benefit of me and the whole? If I hold on to it, is this in benefit of me and the whole? So, you know, that's how I look at everything. And it's funny, I don't know if you get this as well, but sometimes people will think I'm thinking something, you know, because it's what they're thinking. And it's like my thinking is so, I've got like 15 different layers of what I'm processing because of having the energy knowledge and the energy information of your extraterrestrial self that you come in with. So it's like you're doing it on so many different levels because that is who you are. You come in as this multidimensional being, knowing, understanding, and having regular contact with it. So sometimes it takes me a couple minutes to really answer a question, or, you know, especially if it's deep and it involves many different people, because I'm always looking at, well, what's the, for the whole, for the bigger picture, what is the best way?
Well, that's what where it's hard. What is the best way? Because, and I've spoken about this with other people on the show, is that if somebody will ask a question, or they'll get onto a topic and they want to know your opinion, your experience on it, whatever. And it's like, well, how much time do you have? Because even when people go, so tell me about your experiences, and I'm literally like saying, have you got about a week? You know, 8-9 hours a day for a week, and I can just touch the sides, because there's all these different compartments and they all lead into one thing. So basically it's like, I've got to explain this, even though this has got nothing, at the moment sounds like it's got nothing to do with what we're saying, which leads on to this, because you've got to slowly baby step them. And I was talking to a friend the other day who's going to be doing more lectures soon, and we were talking about how in the beginning for myself, I would just blow people's minds and lose them in 5 seconds, because I would get straight to the point. But then I'll learn that I have to sort of step back and see it from their point of view and baby step them in, because, you know, it's the only way it can be done, which it is frustrating. But then you look back at if you're in their situation. Then again, it's like saying to them, are you really ready? Because the shit I'm going to tell you is so in depth in different things that it's going to be a lot to process. It does come down to source and consciousness in the end. But when they're into a body reincarnated here, a lot of the amnesia cut off, whether it's from genetics, their own higher self, a lot of this is blocking. And like I say to everyone that, like lately that I've talked to, everyone on this planet's had contact. And it's as simple as, I said it last time, you could be working on a topic all day or trying to fix something at home. And at the end of the day, you go, stuff it. I've spent 8-9 hours on this. I've got nowhere. You'll go sit down, have dinner or a drink. How to fix that problem straight away comes to your mind. That's how contact can happen, is that idea, that thought transfer, that knowledge, it could be your higher self or it could be another being. That's how simple it is, but yet people expect it to be something that really, that it's not. like some extraterrestrial is going to land their flying saucer out the front. You're going to walk out and ask them, do you want to come in for a coffee? You know, it's just not...
No, it's not like that. Trust me, there's moments that I wished I'm like, can you just come to the front door because I'm ready now. And it's like, doesn't happen like that. It doesn't. And there's times that I don't want them to come. It's like I'm cruising along with whatever is going on. My life is happy and it's, you know, where it is. And then, you know, then it's time to shift. And then there's times that, you know, you're longing for that contact. You're longing for that connection. And then you're like, wait, that's not the right energy to be in. I just have to let that go. Because when it's supposed to happen, it's supposed to happen. And I do think, though, that, you know, we get into, like, we're learning to actually have the discernment to make the connection and then have the proper energy to engage with them. My learning came a couple of years ago when I had that contact October of 2011. I had to work on a project for a client, and it was a really beautiful day in October in Massachusetts. We have autumn, you know, fall, the leaves and the smell of the air. It's a really beautiful time. There's no bugs, which is really great. And I didn't want to work that day. I had to, but I didn't want to. The day was so beautiful that I just followed the energy of the earth. I followed the, I used to live by this lake, and I saw the steam rising from the lake with the sun shining in on the beautiful orange of the leaves and the red and the smell of it. And I just literally got pulled in and said, I'm not going to work today. And so I ended up going to this reserve and just, you know, like nature reserve, and just spending time there. And then my daughter got out of school and I said, we're going to go and we're going to go to the lake and we're just going to have dinner there and run around and just be free and happy. And we did, you know, we just took the whole day and that's what we did. And, you know, that night, driving home, I saw, you know, there's certain energy signatures for me that I saw these huge silver flashes of light all the way home. And the next thing I know, once I get home, I need to then go outside on my front porch, and I lived on top of a hill and, you know, a beautiful view of the stars, and boom, there it was right there, you know, this huge, you know, beaming, silver, strong light, and it was almost in the shape of a cross in the sky. It was gorgeous, and, you know, then we're communing with, you know, the ship at that point, and it was like, okay, that's what it is, you know, that Earth's resonance. Really being in tune with the Earth's energy and not anything else in within you, and having that acceptance. It felt like, it felt so translucent, you know, me with the Earth, it felt so translucent that's what allowed the engagement to occur. And, you know, so anyways, there's certain things that we can do.
Getting in tune with that's natural vibration. And that's even with the contact type work I do where, you know, I'll take people out or whatnot. It's doing some grounding and enjoying nature, because once you get on that frequency, well, that frequency actually taps into all other frequencies. So it's sort of like a direct link with the thought and the intent where something is going to come from that. We'll wrap up the show in a minute. So what's going on with yourself these days? Like, what's happening for you and what's going on in your life with what's going on?
Well, I got away from doing more of my independent work over the last 2 years, and I work here in Hawaii now in a collaborative research environment. So, you know, we work on unified physics. So this is a piece of what I do. So that has been really interesting to see how we can bring forth these new ideas into the world. And really amazing to see the different types of challenges that go on in order to try to bring this new science in, because it's not as easy as it would look. So there's a whole aspect actually of social media that comes into play in order to get people to see, understand, and really, you know, be part of this new way of living, this new way of learning, and this new way of being. So, you know, that's one of the things that I do. I feel like I'm also... learning about energy and how energy moves and flows even at a more intense level. Kauai it's the wettest of all the Hawaiian islands. I think it's actually in Kauai is the wettest place on Earth in one of the spots here. So there's a lot of information, because it's wet, it's water that moves in and out. And it is definitely a place where new ideas are birthed and energy moves again at a really, really rapid rate. So it's probably too early for me to say what some of the major learnings are here, but I'm in the thick of it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. The new phase, the new cycle for you, the next part.
I'm in the thick of it. Yeah, I'm in the thick of it. Yet my passion, which is still my passion, which I'm sure that more formally, I'm doing it here, yet I feel like I'm going to continue to do that more formally, is with, you know, really with these new technologies and conscious leadership. You know, when you've got our folks on those ships out there, you know, there's an appropriate level of consciousness that needs to go in there, in the right intention. So I think we're all, you know, learning about what that is and what that really feels like at this point. So I think there's going to be a lot more of what we do here rolling out there in the world. I actually see that happening. So, you know, the new phase is really just beginning. We're really just beginning the new phase.
And we're all trying to work it out. There's no rule book or manual to anything that's going on. We're just going with the flow and what feels right and where, you know, things lead. So I think that's the only way to go, because if there was a rule book, we wouldn't be in the predicament we're in on a universal level. So
absolutely. And it's important to, honestly, I think it's really important to love the process along the way and to also have some fun, because, you know, some of the problems out there are very, very, very difficult and tough. I mean, I know for me, I do what I do, you know, not just on this big, big level, but I love my family so dearly that, you know, I've got family that's suffering from that disease that I told you about earlier. So, you know, for me, getting the push of the new technologies and the new science and the new understanding of it is so personal. And I try not to let that hijack my mind and my heart, rather, on a regular basis. But, you know, I remember being a kid and I saw my mom suffer and I thought, well, that doesn't have to be like that. That's an earth thing. Like, that doesn't have to be like that. Why is this happening? And really, like, I couldn't get it. Like, I couldn't get, and I remember watching her just slowly die over a period of 15 years. And I love this woman. And I was, you know, by her bedside when she passed. And I thought, that can't happen again. You know, not that death couldn't happen, but that there has to be a way to redirect that energy. There has to be a way to do that. So I believe in my heart that this is why emotions are important, and this is why caring is important, that, you know, if people can see what the possibility of these different energies bring into play, because we can't do it all by ourselves, that we stand a better chance of healing ourselves, healing our family, healing our loved ones, you know, we stand that chance of doing that. So anyways, I share that with you because I think that's it's something that drives me on a regular basis.
Some of that I need to hear, to tell you the truth. I was just laughing in my mind going, this is exactly what I've needed to hear as of late. Where can people find out a little bit more about you? Can they go to your Facebook or YouTube or something like that?
Yeah, well, I used to run a blog, and I've got to pick that up again. I miss writing. I miss sharing my thoughts and my ideas. And, you know, when you work in an organization, you're working for the whole of that organization. So there's stuff that I want to share and say and you know, write about and make videos about. So that blog was called IET Evolve. So that's still active, but if somebody wants to request me on Facebook, that's totally cool. If they can just refer that.
I'll put a link up to both the blog and Facebook. Okay. Just so if they want to just follow you or whatever, they've got a bit of reference to go to as well. So sure. We'll leave it there, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to myself, and I'm sure the listeners and viewers are going to appreciate it too, because there's a few out there bugging me to get you on, and I'm really glad that we've connected too. I really appreciate you taking the time, and just keep doing what you're doing. That's what we've all got to do, is just do what we've got to do, and, you know, that's it.
Do it from a place of love. Thank you so much. Do it from a place of love, and thank you so much. You've inspired me today, and it's so nice to know that there's kindred souls out there that are moving in line and in flow with the energies and working to incorporate all the dimensions in. So it's like, thank you, brother.
Yep. All good. All good. All right. Thank you very much, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Aloha. All right.